Colossians chapter 1. We'll read from verse 9 up to verse 14. If we found it, we'll start reading together. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. 11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Over the past 2 weeks, we've had tremendous sermons being delivered here today. All these previous ministers have spoken to us about different subjects, some doctrinal, some inspirational, and something like that. It's been awesome. I stand before you today to share with you something different from those. I'll try to depart a little bit from those issues, but also to bring out something that I feel is important. As I know, all of us know about relationships. All of us are in one kind of the other relationship, one kind of relationship or the other. We all relate with one another. And so in relationships, there are things that are necessary to enhance those relationships with one another. And we must also know that the same things that are necessary in enhancing relationships with one another are also important in enhancing our relationship with God our Father. How many people know that we are related to God and he is our Father? And so relating to God as our Father has got certain things that have to be done in order to enhance that kind of relationship. The other Saturday, I think, we got an invitation to a certain place where there was a lot of food. And this, we went there. My goodness, I've never seen so many beautiful dishes, wonderful dishes there. And the MC made an announcement that said, you know what? Eat as much as you can, because there is enough for everybody. But he warned, because there was so much variety. He said, but be careful. Take the food that you are familiar with. Otherwise, your body may react badly. And for sure, there was so much food. And there was a variety. Some of us, you go, you want to say, can I take everything or what? But then you remember the MC warned. And so, we ate. And so, this was a traditional event. After eating and something like that, now there were speeches, people were talking. And the purpose for that event was a traditional event where the wife of this particular person was acknowledging the life she has lived with the husband. She was acknowledging how faithful the husband has been to her. She was acknowledging and honoring and thanking the husband for the great man he has been to her. And so she organized, she and her relatives organized this. And so invited friends, including some of us.
This was amazing. It was so touching. And so they started exchange. They exchanged the gifts, the two of them. And there was a time when they were also, they had to speak words to one another. I'm not going to go into what the brother said to the wife, but I think I picked up in particular the words that the wife said to the husband. I know after thanking the husband for who the husband has been in her life, she made a remarkable statement, one that I picked, and she said, "You know what? You," pointing at the husband, "if it were that you came back to me and asked for marriage again, I would say yes without hesitating." With all these 25 plus 1 years we have lived, if you were to come back to me and ask for marriage again, I would say yes without hesitation. Now please don't, some of you don't try this at home. Because you may be shocked with the answer. It's so amazing that even traditionally, we've got events that are so amazing, that are so rich and wealthy in enhancing our relationship. That is what I'm talking to you about today. I'm talking to you, the title of the message is A Thankful Heart. A Thankful Heart. We see Apostle Paul in verse 12, starting from verse 11. The last part says, "And joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints." And so Apostle Paul is writing and made this statement of thanking the Father for the welfare of the church, of what is happening to the church, of what God has done to the church of Colossae. And so thankfulness is a mental or verbal expression of our acknowledgement and appreciation of God's person, just for who He is, His grace, His blessings, His goodness in our lives. That's what thankfulness does. In the Bible, some combination of these, we give thanks, we're thankful, we do all these. In the New Testament alone, the word is found in 169 times in 162 verses. That is in the New American Standard Bible. And it's found in 195 times. It's found 195 times in 186 verses in the NAT Bible. That's the New English Translation Bible. And Paul uses it in the book, in his epistles, 40 times in the epistles that he's written. The expression that has something to thank God, he uses it 40 times. And in the book of Colossians alone, the book of Colossians is a very short book, but he uses the same expression several times. As we read, you will find this. In Colossians chapter 1, for instance, verse 3, he says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." In Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, it says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Abounding in it with thanksgiving. That's the only way you abound in the grace of God. With thanksgiving. And so you see the repetition of what we're talking about here. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 3, verses 15 to 17. And he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. And whatever you do, in words or in deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see the repetition of the word, of that expression, giving thanks. In everything you do, in words, in deeds, give thanks. And you'll see that in certain instances, he's giving an option, whether you can or not. But in other instances, it's a command. Say, give thanks. Give thanks. He's not imposing the terminology on us, but he is highlighting the importance of it. Give thanks. Give thanks. Why was Apostle Paul so passionate about this term, giving thanks to the Father, giving thanks to God? It's all over. And now he says, in everything you do, in deeds and in words, give thanks to the Father. I got out of Colossians a little bit weak. Throughout Apostle Paul's epistles, in fact, the way he addresses you, the way he starts his epistles, he always starts with the third term in it, giving thanks. The only place where he kind of snapped this out is the Galatians. And you know what, the Galatians, he had the stuff to deal with. That's the only place he was in hurry, and he cut that short. But all throughout all the epistles, Apostle starts his address by that, thanking the Father, giving thanks to God. In the Bible, the frequency of any term, when you come across a term that is used so many times, and that's why scholars put this, and that's why preachers, they will tell you, when I was reading the figures of frequency, of appearance of this, is not to bore you up. It's to tell you that when the Bible mentions something several times within a short time, in one verse is repeating, that demands your attention. If you read one verse and you find one word is appearing there more than once, or you read a number of verses within the same chapter, you find the same expression, pay attention to that. If you're a Bible scholar, if you're a Bible preacher, if you're a Bible teacher, that draws your attention. Find out why it is like that. Find out what is being said. God will never repeat himself unnecessarily. One word for him is enough. When he wants to do stuff, he just uses one word and it's enough. He thinks one word is enough for a wise person. But when he repeats himself, that's too much. You know, God, even if he repeats himself just twice, that is enough for us to pay attention. But if he repeats himself more than twice, there's a lot needed there. And this is what I'm drawing your attention to this morning. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, in everything, give thanks. And he said, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything minus nothing. Give thanks. Oh no, Pastor, I know, you just don't know what I'm going through. In everything. No, Pastor, you just don't know what I'm going through. My pocket, my bank account, and you know what, the bailiffs came. You just don't know what is going on. My neighbor has stolen my chicken. In everything. In everything, give thanks. Oh no, the school fees. No. Give thanks. There is that song we used to sing some time back. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the whole one. Because of what he has done. Give thanks. Apostle said, in everything, give thanks. You come here, you didn't expect Pastor William to preach. You find him, give thanks. That'll be too bad for you, but give thanks. In everything. Doing otherwise is disobeying God. You don't need to love me for you to give thanks for my preaching. You don't need to love me. You just need to give thanks. Glory be to God. Give thanks. You know why? It is the will of God. You not doing that is fighting the will of God. Glory be to God. Thankfulness then becomes a spiritual barometer. It is an evidence of the condition of our spiritual life and the value system. When I hear what you're saying, if I stay long enough with you, I hear the words that are coming out of your mouth. In every situation, I should be able to gauge your spiritual growth and the depth of scripture in your life. It's a barometer. Let's read the word. There are four things that I'll bring out to you this morning. The first thing, let's look at the importance of giving thanks. You know, mostly when we pray, when we come before God, or mostly when we pray, we do so because we need stuff from God. We want Him to meet our needs. We pray because we are in trouble. We pray because we want good stuff from God. And we do so because we believe our God is a giver of good things. We do so. And there is nothing wrong with us coming before God and making our petition and praying. Pastor Benjamin was announcing here about us praying. It pleases God for us to come before Him and pray. As a matter of fact, He's the one that says, ask and it shall be given. And so God, it pleases us to come before Him and pray. Because when we pray, it shows our dependability on Him. It also shows our faith in His promises. All those promises that God has given are for us to use to access His goodness. And so prayer is amazing. Prayer is fantastic. Prayer is good. And we can do so because it shows our trust, our dependability for Him. It's an expression of our faith in His ability and in His goodness. But the concept of faithfulness in the New Testament is critical. And so the word that these expressions have been translated from have got a meaning like grace or charis, which is grace. That's what these words have, give thanks, or thankfulness is coming from. The other one has got this meaning. In English, it means to confess or to acknowledge. And so, to others, it's a declaration. When we thank God, we are declaring, or we are acknowledging, or we are appreciating who He is. apart from what he has done for us, you know, God is good enough to be thanked. Before he does anything for us, before he gives us anything, before he answers your prayer, in the first place, he is worthy of our thanks. So when you're coming before God with your prayer, your attitude is critical. So when we thank him, we acknowledge his goodness. We declare his greatness. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, he says, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. You will never have enough of praising him. And God will never have enough of you thanking. He will never have too much of you thanking him. If the Bible says continually, you know, continually, that word continually means without stopping. It means ongoing. It means flowing and overflowing. The way the river's water move from the source up to wherever, it keeps flowing. If you've been to the Zambezi River, the Kafue River, too bad for Luangwa that dries sometime. You've been to Luangwa River. You see hippos stranded and crocodiles stranded. But the Kafue does not have that. And so this is the same term, flowing. Things are just flowing. Can you imagine? Can you imagine your life overflowing with the words of expression of thanks to God? You make a step, thank God. You turn the other side, thank God. Things are not working in your life, you thank God. You eat in Shima with chicken, thank God. You eat with Kapenta, thank God. You eat with Delal and Kalimbula, thank God. And people begin to look at you and say, is he crazy? Doesn't he or she have bad days? Thank God. You find the people gossiping you? Thank God. Oh no, oh, you begin. Thank God. Hallelujah. That's overflowing. It's in abundance. It's overflowing. And the Bible says it pleases God. And that's why you see Apostle Paul in all epistles, how he starts them is, I thank God. I thank God. It's not that he was thanking God because of the things God was giving him, but he was thanking God because that was what was in here. Glory be to our God. You know, thanksgiving must be done until it becomes a way of life. We need to do it until it becomes a way of life. And when we make it the way of our lives will never dry up. Our lives will flow with living waters and will be enriched with the knowledge of his goodness. I've seen people that have the habit of acknowledging God, of thanking him, of declaring of his goodness. Such people will never walk a dry life. Have you seen people that walk in a dry life? I'm going to come to that when I come to the consequences of some of these things. I'll come to that just in a moment. You can actually walk in a dry life. Not that rain is not falling, but you put a canopy on top of you. It is falling, it's going there, and you keep yourself dry.
to God. I'm talking about the importance. Importance of prayer, of praise and worship. What is the importance of worship, or rather of thanksgiving? One, it honors God. This is number one, because importance is number one. What is the importance of it? A, it honors him. Psalms 50 verse 23, the Bible reads, "But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God." That's the New Living Translation. Giving thanks is a sacrifice. That is God. Did you see that? Other version says, "Whoever thank me honors me." That is God. So it's a great honor to God. When we give thanks, it's great honor to God. You know why? We confess, we acknowledge, and we declare his goodness. We declare his power. We declare his capacity. We declare his ability, and we declare his faithfulness. We honor him. Some of you, you've got children. And some of you are children to your parents. When they pay for your school fee, never you take it for granted. If they chose to be selfish, they would have bought for themselves an expensive shoe. Some of you have got teachers that teach you. Some of you have got bosses that oversee you. And some of you have got employees that work so well for you. When you give thanks, something happens in their lives. It honors God. Can you imagine you have got a child? I've got a little kid. By the name of Agape. This is like this. I've seen the girl grow at the age of 4. I put her in my car and drop her at her school at the age of 4. She gets out of the car. She waves at me and I wave back at her. And she looks to me in the eyes and says, "Thank you." That day I felt like getting out of the car and leave it there and walk to my home. This age, 4. Have you ever been thanked by that little creature of that age? And yet, some of us, we are all old people. You just give something, they just grab it as if it means nothing. 4. And God says it honors him. You know how I felt that day? Then that scripture came true into my life. Being thanked by a 4-year girl. I think this is the way God feels. The life you are breathing is a gift from God. You know, this man standing here is a gift from God. You like it or not, he's a gift. I mean, you will never have another William like me. I'm proud of myself. You go into our family, you will not have to find another William. It's only me. Pastor Walker is a gift from God. You like him, you like his height or not, he's a gift from God. See what I'm talking about? You will never find another Walker Shows anywhere in the world. The way he preaches, you may liken him with Joe Austin, but they are different. He's a gift from God. Pastor Benjamin is a gift from God. Like him or not, he's loud. Reverend Steve Shoup is a gift.
He taught me in Bible school. His style of teaching, you'll see when he gets out of here, he goes there with his Bible and walking around. You will never find another Steve Shoup anywhere. It's a gift from God. And so when we come before God and appreciating these gifts, you know what God does? He feels honored. Number A, it pleases him when we thank him. Number B, it changes us. When we give thanks, it changes us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16-17 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So we give thanks in whatever we do, before and after we've done it. Secondly, our words become filled with expression of thanks and not gossip. Not as a matter of duty. When you do it long enough, it abounds in you. The Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. It's very rare that the mouth will speak things that are not present here. So when people say things to you, either they bless you or they curse you or they rebuke you or they do anything, try to trace the source of that. You will soon discover that it is coming from the heart. And that's why never you take for granted words from people. Never. Because that's the condition of the heart. And what is available here finds its way there. That's why what comes here can either build or destroy. And that's why whatever is coming from here to you from somebody else, examine it. If it is blessing your heart, embrace it. If not, if you can rebuke, shoot it down just there and then. Never you allow things that discourage you, things that dump you, that destroy you, and never you allow them just to think, to go like that. Shoot it down just there and then. Because it is coming from here. In fact, some people just avoid them. Before they start talking, just avoid them. They will destroy you. Glory be to God. It honors God. It changes us. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You will know what is available here. How do we know? We will know it in different circumstances. When you are walking with a brother or sister, they knock them their foot against something. Just notice what is going to come out. If something like some people that do this, you hear, "Praise the Lord." But the others, either they say, or they use other words. You know why? It is there. That's what is here. If you can correct, just say, brother. Or sister. Don't forget you're a child of God. But if a guy comes, "Oh, praise the Lord." Just know that that's what
they have grown in here. In words and in deeds, they will honor God. Even when you step on their foot, the first thing they will say, praise Jesus. I know that's what you do. Glory be to God. Number two, the benefits of thanks. I want to do something. I will be running here quickly. That's something that I want us to do. I'll run these, I'll just run through them now. The benefits of thanksgiving. It brings wholeness. Remember, in Luke chapter 17, verse 11, there is a story that Jesus Christ healed 10 lepers. You know the story, you just refer to that. He healed 10 lepers. And out of 10, you know, lepers in those days, I think in Zambia, it has been eradicated because even a little thing has been closed. That means that kind of challenge, it's a physical challenge that will eat your limbs up and things like that. I think it has been conquered in Zambia. Praise be to God. But in those days, it was so prevalent. And so people that were affected by that disease were isolated from the rest. And so if they were coming, they will be announcing, shouting, so that the people that are coming do not come into contact with them. But Jesus Christ came, a bunch of them, 10 of them, and healed all of them. And guess what? And go present yourself to the priest in the city to give you permission how to walk free. You can imagine, they were shouting, hey, we are coming, lepers, lepers. But now they just went to Jup. But where they went, one of them came back. Came to Jesus. You know what he came to do? Exactly what the little agape did. Came to Jesus Christ and said, you know, Lord, thank you so much. Jesus Christ looks like, come on, you were 10. How come out of 10, only one? Sometime when you do good, it's only one out of 10 will come back to you. It happened to Jesus, and Jesus complained. So you were 10, but only one. But you know what happened? He made pronouncement to that particular one that were not available to those 9 that went. So this guy, he was not only healed. Actually, the Message Bible says he was even saved. Other translation says he was made whole. Other translations say he was made well. It meant that not only was he healed of leprosy, if the fingers had been eaten, they came back. If he had scars, those scars were gone. And then he was saved. But the others went. They were healed quite all right. I think they remained with some scars. So you are made whole. Number two, it brings a joyous life. Thankfulness is a gate to joyous life and a great expression of faith in God. It brings joyous life. The writer of Living in Thanksgiving Daily said, gratitude is a quality I have found in every happy person I know. So, studies have been conducted to link happiness and gratitude. It has actually been established that a thankful heart is less likely to contract some of these sicknesses and diseases than a person that is not grateful. Studies have also been conducted. It has been established that happiness can be linked to thankfulness. And so, it is not just spiritual, it is also physical. It builds your faith, number C. Number D, it is the will of God. In everything, give thanks. Thankless heart is dangerous. Thankless heart is terrible. You know, thankless is caused by very negative emotions. A person that is not thankful have got certain problems. Either they've got pride, pomp, prejudice, or maybe they carry themselves wrongly. They carry their status of fame wrongly. Or they've got a problem with the upbringing. Or they have got this concept of familiarity. Ichimereshi. You get so used to things that you cannot be thankful. It deprived certain people. In Jesus' hometown, people were not blessed. They look at Jesus Christ and say, he's a carpenter. His mother is Mary, married to Joseph. He's just one of us. And the Bible says because of that, he failed to perform miracles. You've heard things like, if it is Zambian, it is useless. But some of the things we import, you use dollars to buy it, to bring it here. You don't use yen, you use the United States dollar. You bring it here, and you look at the quality. And now you are saying whatever is Zambian is inferior. That is a mentality that we must fight. Yeah, if I were you, I would have said more amen to that. Some of the best doctors in the world are Zambians. I'm not saying that because I'm a Zambian. Of course I am. It's a reality. Familiarity can blind you from realities. And you become unthankful. Glory be to our God. So these are the things that can make you to be thankless. Thankless is failing to acknowledge the value of anything. It is failing to know the gift God has given. Thankless is dishonoring God. Joe Austin, in his Your Best Life Now, Step 7 to Living at Your Full Potential, says, and I quote, "One of the main reasons that we lose our enthusiasm in life is because we become ungrateful. We let what was once a miracle become a common to us. We get so accustomed to his goodness that it becomes a routine." I end the quote. Ichivelesh. You know, what once was a miracle, it becomes just a common thing to you. And God looks at that. And you remember all this. We're dealing with the relationship with God. And how you relate with God will determine how you relate with one another. If this is your attitude towards God, I don't know what you can do to a fellow like me. No wonder. Our lives are so, you know. And we don't know what is hitting us. No, they are demons. No, they are not demons. It's your lifestyle. In relating with God and in relating with one another. After today, after this service, would you just look at certain people, just approach them and say, you know what? I've been so ungrateful to you. After this, let's just look for one or two people and say, you know what? I just want to say thank you. Glory be to God. You know, we all have the potential to be thankless. A child, to parent, church member, or their pastors, employers or employees. We can all be ungrateful. We wind up. Apostle Paul has a reason to give thanks. The Psalms has got a reason to give thanks. We have a reason to give thanks. Could we all rise, please? By the way, there are consequences to thankless life. Consequences are such people. I find things like grumbling, murmuring, complaining. These are symptoms of a thankless life. I want us, we're going to read together to the book of Psalms 136. A thankful heart. I'll be reading the first sentence. Your answer will always be, give thanks to God. Or rather, his love endures forever. Me, I will read the rest. You just answer me. His love endures forever. Other version says his mercy endures forever. We will start. Psalms 136. Start from verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Answer me. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. Who by his understanding made the heavens. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. The sun to govern the his love endures forever. Who made the great lights? The sun to govern the sky. The moon and the stars to govern the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. And brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the desert and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance. His love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel. To the one who remembered us in our low estate. And freed us from our enemies. And who gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Pastor God, don't sit down now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's close our eyes. If you feel what we've read about applies to you. If you see, you feel God has been so merciful. He's been so loving. He's been so kind to you. You can give thanks to him today. You can give thanks right where you are. You can raise your hand right now and thank him. Say, Father, I've been so thankless to you, but I want to thank you. Even the lady that I have as a wife is a gift from you. The man I have as a husband is a gift from you. Even what I have, the job I have, everything, the children I have, the life I have, the air I'm breathing, everything is a gift from you. I thank you, Father. I thank you for your goodness. Oh, above all, I thank you for making me your child, sending Jesus to die for me on the cross. Thank you.
Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And now you are here. You say, Pastor, I don't even have a relationship with God. How can I be thankful to Him? You know, you can only be thankful to God when you have a relationship with Him. Because these things enhance the relationship we have with Him. And now you're here, you haven't even accepted, you know, he has given you His Son for your salvation. But you are staying in sin. But you are here. And you say, Pastor, you know what? I want that love of God to endure in my life. I want to be a person that will thank God for His Son, for the gift of life. So when I leave this earth, I'll go to where He is and thank Him in His face. And you are here. You want to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just where you are. May every hand that has been lifted drop. Eyes closed. Every eye closed. Every hand down. And you are here. You want to give your life to the Lord. Raise your hand wherever you are. I'll see you. I want to pray with you. Wherever you are. Just raise it up so that I can see it from here. Thank you, sir. I've seen that hand, sir. Thank you. Any other? Thank you. I've seen that hand there, sir. Thank you. Any other? Raise. I've seen that hand, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, I've seen that hand, young man. Yes, I've seen it. Any other that I haven't seen? Yes, I've seen that hand over there. Thank you. I've seen that hand over there. Thank you. Thank you. You want to give your life to the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I've seen it. Please, you may put it down. I've seen the other hand at the far end. Thank you at the back. Yes, thank you. I've seen it. Thank you. Thank you. Every eye closed. And now I want you to take another step, because I promise to pray with you right here. I want to pray with you personally. I want to carry whatever you brought yourself with, your cell phone, if you're a lady, your bag and everything, your Bible. Please make a step here. I shall help them to make their way here. I want to shake hands with you. I want to guide you from here. Please walk over here. Glory be to God. Come over, come. Even if you didn't raise your hand, just walk over here. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Even if you didn't raise your hand, come here. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Come over here. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Any other person coming over here? Yes, come. Come, there is room for you. Amen. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Woo! Let's give thanks to the Lord. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Who else? Hallelujah. Come over here. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There can't be any other exciting moment as this one. The Bible says there's celebration in heaven over one sinner. But count them. More than one. There are many. I want you to raise your hand. Your right hand. Just raise it up right now. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Father God, I come to you as I am. I realize I am a sinner and I've got no relationship with you. I've fallen out of the grace, but today your love has invited me. Your love has drawn me to come to you. You've said, if I come to you, you won't cast me away. Just as I am, I have come. I give my life to you and I ask for your forgiveness over my sin. Lord Jesus, I now invite you to be Lord and to be Savior of my life. I choose to live my old life and live for you from today on. So help me, God, to walk in your way, in your will, and in your plan.
Father, I thank you for these wonderful men and women that have given their lives to you, that have come.